Blog Talk Radio.
To Garage Talk Live. It is January 17th, 2017. Hope everybody had a nice holiday, Happy New Year, and all Merry Christmas and all that. Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and everything in between. Well, it's our first live show of the new year. Figured I'd leave everybody alone, but some interesting things have happened while we were gone. If you want to give me a call, the number is 646-649-1899. So right on the air, we could talk about everything that's happened. Well, the first thing that's happened is Dale Jr. got married this New Year, and lovely lady. But then again, when you're a star driver and you're not going to attract someone. Well, you never know. But what happens? But he got married on New Year's, so I guess I'll never forget his anniversary. Makes it easy that way. Everybody's staying fairly warm. It is wintertime. Some places with ice storms where I'm at, it's off and on sunny, and it's supposed to hit 60 degrees today, so that's not too bad. Everything is gearing up for the racing season. And down at Daytona, yep, Daytona's coming shortly. The motorsports show in PA is this coming weekend. It's called the PPB Motorsports 2017 Race Car and Trade Show. I used to go to that when I lived up that way. Never missed one since I started doing the show. One of the featured guests will be Jeffrey Earnhardt. Fourth generation. Kerry's son, he used to come on the show. I've got to get him back on. Also joining will be Richard Petty, Kevin Olson, trying to get all the names down. But it's a fun thing, everybody selling gear and people showing up with their cars. Tammy, who isn't feeling well, everybody wish her well. And hope she gets better. She usually goes to that, of course. Every year, she does promotion. Richard Petty, one of the others. I'm trying to find the list. They keep it a flashy thing. So it's hard to say. Beginning of January, it kicks off the racing season. In the Northeast area, all your local tracks. An exhibit there, including Martinsville, all my local tracks, Martinsville, Dover, Pocono, get the monster trucks out there, and by a bunch of different guys. Pardon me for one of my control room here. Jeff Hammond will be signing autographs. Midget racer Kevin Olson. Richard Petty. And it's a full weekend events, Friday through Sunday. Friday is the early one. Saturday is usually the big day. I mean, John Force has been there, Kenny Wallace thing where you can buy stuff. There's seminars, teach you how to get sponsors and all that kind of stuff. Area Auto Racing News, go to AARN.com and give you all the details for tickets and how to get there. And all that is at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oak, Pennsylvania. When I started going, it was in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. Then for a brief stint, they moved it down to the Atlantic City Convention Center. Not Convention Hall, but the Convention Center, which is just down the road from Convention Hall. Like off the boardwalk, a block away. Not to be confused with Convention Hall or Miss America pageant. It's held there for a while. Then they moved it to Vegas, and then they moved it back. And after that, they usually have the indoor race with the midgets, the midget cars at Convention Hall. They set all that up in Atlantic City, and that will be usually the weekend after, when they had the motorsports show there, 27th and 28th, which is, like I said, the weekend after, Friday night and Saturday night at Boardwalk Hall. They turned the indoor arena into a racetrack, a little dirt track there, so it's pretty neat. And ticket prices, $25 for the front row, reserve lower level $20. Level reserve $17, general admission adult $15, general admission children $5. 2-day pit pass $60. Additional fees may apply. Friday night, the pit gates open at 10 a.m. The grandstands at 6:30 p.m. The racing starts at 7:30. And on Sunday, the grandstands open up at 5, Fan Fest at 5, and then the racing starts at 7, pit gates, 10 a.m. That's the only standard time. That's for the drivers and the teams to get in and set up shop there. The on-track Fan Fest is an indoor, it's put on by VP Racing Fuels. It goes from 5 p.m. to 6:15, allows fans to see their favorite drivers. Accommodation, Resorts Casino Hotel, I'm sure they don't mind that, and they give you room rates for that. And I guess they have a deal working with them, which is a good thing. You get a better price. Wednesday night, it's only $59 for Thursday, $59, and Friday goes up to $109, Saturday's $189. Taxes and $10 resort fee not included. That's, I wonder if that's a Jersey thing. Anybody in Jersey want to give me a call? 646-649-1899. So everybody want to head on up to Oak, Pennsylvania, to the Greater Philadelphia Convention Center for the motorsports show, and down to Boardwalk Hall on for the 27th and 28th for the indoor race. I used to drive there, so I didn't have to stay at a hotel. 45 miles away from my old home, so now I'd have to stay at a hotel. But go. The easiest way to get there is go right down the Atlantic City Expressway. Get to that, your GPS will show you how, and it's follow the GPS once you get into Atlantic City. It's not far off, maybe a couple blocks from the expressway. What else happened this weekend? Big announcement. All of their energy takes over the Cup Series title sponsorship. So everybody's got to get used to saying the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. I think they should have just called it the Monster Energy Super Series or MESS. But I don't think they want to associate with that. But it would have been funny. It would have been eye-catching, and I'm sure it'll turn into that. Monster signing on right after the banquet. That announcement was made, so to can't wait to see the new logo. Actually, they showed up the new logo. Go to NASCAR.com. I'm sure it's posted everywhere. That big green M. Well, if anybody knows the Monster Energy logo. Of course, they were sponsoring Kurt Busch's car, so whether that happened. Anyway, Joe Gibbs Racing held a press conference where Carl Edwards decided to announce, and here's how that went.
I didn't want to fully. All right, well, thanks for coming. It's occurred to me there must be some sort of thing that people do on these that communicate really quickly because everybody found out about this in a hurry. Twitter. Anyway, so. I'm stepping away from full-time driving the Cup Series, and I'm not taking any questions, so thanks for coming. Just joking. I think I owe it to you guys, and I'd like to share my reasoning and then allow you guys to ask some questions and talk about this. But before I get to my reasons, I'd like to just talk a little bit about my career and things that are important to me and when you're done, Bob. And I want to say, first of all, this is about the most scared I've ever been about something, just talking about this and going through this whole process. I've been racing for over 20 years. It's been something that I wouldn't trade for anything. I have no regrets. It's been a blast. And I owe thanks to a lot of people, my family, my mom, my dad, and all the people who have become like family through racing, from Capital Speedway in Holt Summit, Missouri, all the way to Daytona, and you know Mike Helton and Lisa and Brian France and you know everybody at the top of the sport. And I've had so much fun meeting everyone. Had so much fun driving. I mean, guys, there's nothing I love more than driving down a corner at 190 miles an hour sideways next to the best people in the world, you know, the best drivers in the world, and. And so, yeah, my competitors, you guys are amazing. You can be jerks sometimes, but let's be honest, I can be a jerk too. So, but what you've done for me, my competitors, all of you, is you've pushed me. You've made the – when you win one of these races or you do well, you know that you have beaten the best, and it feels almost impossible in the process. But then when you're done, it's the most amazing feeling ever, and that's because of how good all of you guys are. And so thanks for letting me be a part of that group. To all my crew members and team members and people who built these cars and worked on all of these things and you know, Jason Hedleski, my spotter, and Randy Fuller and Dave Rogers, who's become one of my best friends, and the team owners are driven for, Mike Mittler, Jack Roush, Coach Gibbs. There are no better men on earth, and I'm glad to have been around them and see how they do things and to have been a part of that. And without racing, I wouldn't be able to do any of that. So the fans have been spectacular. Jack Roush said, you know, we could all go do all this and race around a field with nobody watching, but that wouldn't be any fun. I mean, the fans are what makes this great. My buddy, the late, great Bob Healy, used to say the world's all screwed up because all the people that are qualified to fix it are busy messing with cars. And I think that sums up. There's some really great people in the sport. So, and the media, thank you guys. I know when I first came to the sport, all you did was write nice things about me. I thought that's how it was always going to be, and I really appreciate it, and I thank you. But, you know, then we went through some down times, and now we're good again. So if any of you are planning on writing bad stuff, you don't get the free subway on the way out. So just let that be known. So we get to the reasons. Why would I step away from all of that? And the reasons are pretty straightforward. And there are three of them. Number one, I am truly I'm personally – satisfied with my career. And I know right now you're thinking, you don't have a championship. Well, I mean, Jimmy's got some extras if he wants to send one my way, but truly, I mean, you guys know that I don't race just for the trophy. This has always been a really, it's been a neat journey for me. It's always been something that I've been rewarded by the challenges. And there's some race car drivers sitting here, Ricky, and you know how it is. It's scary in so many ways to go racing. I mean, initially, first time I stepped on throttle in my dad's race car, I mean, I thought I was the greatest driver ever, and about a half second later, I pulled my foot right off, and I couldn't get it to go back down. And I thought, man, this is going to be tough. And so you go from that to, you know, working up the courage to get ask people to drive a car, to being put in situations where you know if you drive well and you win sponsorship and everything works, and going through that whole process and becoming a better person, a stronger person, a better competitor, a better teammate, a better friend to people, that's a big deal to me, and I feel accomplished. And I know when I sit in that race car that I am the best race car driver I can be. And so whether or not I have a championship, I'm really satisfied with that. That's long-winded version one. And remember, I am long-winded. You guys know that. I'm saving you like a whole year of this stuff by doing it this way. So, second reason is that I'm not going to get any sympathy from anyone in the room, but this is an all-encompassing thing. You guys, we do this, and it's full-time. And not just that I wake up in the morning thinking about racing. I think about it all day. I go to bed thinking about it. And I have dreams about racing. And that's just how it is. I've been doing that for 20 years, and I need to take that time right now and devote it to people and things that are important to me, things I'm really passionate about. And the third reason is my health. I can stand here healthy, and that's a testament. After all the racing I've done and all the stupid stuff I've done in the race car, that is a true testament to NASCAR, to the tracks, to the people who built my race cars, to my competitors, and to the drivers who've come before me who haven't been so fortunate. Having said that, though, it's a risky sport. I'm aware of the risk. I don't like how it feels to take the, you know, hits that we take. And, you know, I'm a sharp guy, and I want to be a sharp guy in 30 years. And so those risks are something that I want to minimize. Now, if I put those three things together, that brings us to the timing of it. Slight shock, I know. I keep thinking about that scene from Forrest Gump where he stops running. Everybody's like, what? So if I put those three things together, the timing for me to do this is now. And that's where Coach Gibbs comes in. I don't know if Coach is in here. Thank you for allowing me. This is a personal decision. If I wanted to race next year, I've heard, I shut my phone off, but I've heard people think I'm going somewhere else or doing something. If I'm going to get back in a race car, which, you know, I'm not saying the R word here, I've seen how that's worked out for guys, but if I'm going to get back in a race car, I'm calling Coach Gibbs first. There is no better race team. There is no faster car than the Toyota Camry. There's no better engine. There's no better crew chief than Dave Rogers. There's no better crew. And I'm going to race here. And so thank you. When I walked into his office, said, hey, Coach, this is something that's important to me. Is this possible? I told him this. I looked at made sure that checked which hand the ring was on because I thought it was coming. And instead, he stuck out his hand in a much different way. And he said, I admire you for being able to make a decision like this, and I'm going to go to work for you. And that's the type of person you'll get to this. That's the type of organization this is. I cannot thank him enough. So those are my reasons. Satisfied with my career. I'd like to spend time on other things outside of it. And my health is important to me. And I am healthy. Everybody texted me yesterday. Yeah, I'm great. And all people close to me are healthy. I appreciate those concerns. That's not an issue. So do you guys have any questions at all?
Yeah, so we'll have Jessica and Lisa's with the mics here. So we'll bring
and Lee, how could you not break this early? Like, you've done everything else in my career. So you've been in Hawaii? That is no excuse.
I can't put racing out of my mind. Anyway, what does the next chapter look like for Carl Edwards? And in this past year, you took some pretty major hits on the racetrack. Did you have any concussions or anything that might have put you more closer to the decision that you've made today?
Okay, so the first question, I have a lot of interest outside of racing. I really enjoyed, there's a lot of aviation stuff, a lot of, the agriculture thing has been great. And But I love the sport. And I think as much as I can, we get some really exciting things coming up we're going to talk about later. I'd really like to be a part of this and be close to it. And there's no telling what we could do together, Coach Gibbs and I, going forward. But I don't have anything solid yet. I have enjoyed the broadcasting stuff. I'd be really open to any of that stuff. I used to think that that would be no fun, but the more I've watched how much fun people are having with it, and that could be something that's neat. And what was the other part of your question? So, like I said, I'm 100% healthy, but I am aware that there's, and it's a risky sport, put on a helmet and fire suit to go to race, and I am aware of the current consensus that you know, let me say it this way, like anybody in a contact sport, I realize that there might be long-term multiple parts to it. Thank you. Are you going back to Hawaii, or did I cut your vacation short?
I'll tell you about my vacation plans later, but Claire Belay, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. Carl, when did this hit you? There's been a lot of talk, obviously, that it was December 21st or something. You don't talk a lot about your family, but people are talking about your family being part of this, and certainly you have kids at home and a wife. And also, any thought about running for public office, which is something that people are talking about you being the governor of your state down the road.
Okay, so I do have which part? I'm sorry, what was the first part again? Okay, so yeah, like I said, I mean, you guys know I'm a private person. I mean, I am, and I value that. I think it's important. And but like I said, the time that this takes, I'll say this, that I want to be able to spend time on things outside of the sport that are important. I think it's the right thing to do. And as confusing as this whole thing might be, this might not make sense to people. I mean, that's the risk you take with something like this. And I have to be honest, it makes you nervous to think, for me, to do something like this and wonder if everybody understands or not. But really, that's part of what I talked about earlier, about growing as a person and the things that sport has taught me. Anyway, I'm getting long-winded. But yeah, I'm excited to be able to spend time on things outside of sports, yeah. I had been thinking what I thought was, you know, reasonable amount about kind of how this would end. I always think about things going forward. And in my mind, I'd considered next year being my final year. But I hadn't put really a lot of thought into it. And after Homestead, I had some time to sit, think, and reflect about all this. And for those three reasons that I gave you, I thought, man, I can't come up with a good reason why now isn't a good time. And so I presented that to Coach. I didn't know what he would say. And like I said, he and the sponsors, I mean, everyone, accommodated me in a way I just accepted it. It means a lot. Okay, so I do have really strong feelings about our country and what it means, what America is about, and the principles that keep us free and safe from the biggest risks in history. And so I don't know if I'm not prepared right now to participate in any public office or anything, but I am very open to helping that cause and helping the cause of liberty and freedom and what it is that America is about.
Let's go to this side of the room over here. Steve Richards with PRN Radio. Carl, was there a defining moment that served as a catalyst for all this?
That's a very interesting question. Sorry, it'll be an interesting answer. I hope you'll bear with me on it. But there are times, people close to me know that I follow my gut. And as analytical as I am, and as much as I wear people out about the details, Coach can attest to that, I do. I follow my gut. And sometimes I just gather what's around me, and I say, look, if all signs point to this, then that's what I need to do. That's what got me here in the first place. The way everybody looked at me when I announced I'm doing this is the same way people looked at me 20 years ago when I said, hey, I'm going to drive a race car for a living. Think you're crazy. I mean, literally, people laughed at me. But that same way of thinking applies now. I really believe it's the right thing. It's a personal thing. I feel strongly about it. I'm very confident in it. And, no, there was not one thing. Just a series of those things over time. I'm sure it's the right direction for my life. Jenna. I can't believe you actually wrote the subway thing. That's pretty funny. I thought you meant you'd quote it to, like, other people. I'm sorry.
Carl, you repeatedly said you were walking away from full-time racing.
Right.
Could there be other races?
Absolutely. I don't know. What I'm doing right now, and I hope you guys will accept this, because I know it's hard for, I mean, Coach and I have had these thoughts. I don't have any intention of going back full-time race. I don't have a plan to drive a race car right now, but I know enough about, I just know how things work, and if it comes up and the right opportunity is there and at that moment it's the right thing, then for sure I'd entertain it. But like I said, the first person I talked to.
And losing the championship the way you did in this thing, the inevitable thing that had to come from that, might things have been different if you'd won the championship?
A good question. In a lot of ways, I think I don't know. I'll say that. I mean, who knows? Might have made it easier. Let me tell you about Homestead, though. I'm glad you brought that up. With 30 laps to go, 40 laps to go, 30 laps to go, 20 laps to go, what I live for. I mean, that is it. That is racing to me. I mean, Dave and I had worked all year to be in that moment, to pass the battle with Jimmy, and then to be able to pass Joey and Kyle for the ultimate prize, driving just as hard as I could, and to be in that position and to know that day we were getting it done. I mean, that literally, that's what I live for. And that part of Homestead, for me personally, I won. I mean, that's what it's about. And the outcome, obviously, I wasn't happy with, and that's frustrating and everything, but I feel really good about that.
Over the years, compared to when you came in, has the enjoyment factor of racing, the fun factor, diminished for you, and did that play any part in wanting to do something else?
That's a good question. I've always liked the adventure of things. I really do. And when you ask about what I've got in store in the future, there are a lot of things I'd like to do. But to get back to your question, I like a new challenge. I like something that fully, you know, takes all of my attention. And I think anybody can tell you that a career that lasted this long in any sport, you know, it becomes less of a challenge, and you get a little bit less of that. But look at it. I've raced at least, I think, almost 1,000 NASCAR races. I ran the Xfinity and the Cup Series full-time for 7 years. And what I said at the beginning is absolutely true. I don't regret one bit of it. So if I go forward, would it be as exciting and all that as it has been? I'm not sure. There's a part of that.
There you have Carl Edwards talking a bit of his press conference there, talking about stepping away from the time racing. And later on the same day, his replacement was announced, that being Daniel Suarez, first Mexican driver to compete in NASCAR. Now at the highest level at the Monster Energy Cup Series. And here's what he had to say in this press conference.
Okay, folks, we're... all right, everybody, we're about to get started. If everybody could come back and make their way back to their seat.
A little intermission, I guess.
So our second announcement today is obviously that Daniel Suarez will be taking over the number 19 Camry this season in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup. Joining us today, obviously, we have Joe Gibbs, owner of Joe Gibbs Racing, Daniel Suarez. We have Ron Kopic, who's Executive Vice President, Global Marketing and Customer Operations of Aris. And we have Ed Laukes, Vice President, Integrated Marketing Operations, Toyota Motor Sales USA. And so we're going to start with Coach. A lot of news today. Carl obviously just addressed everybody. So why don't you share your thoughts on Carl and then on Daniel?
Yeah, thank you.
first of all, thanks to everybody for coming out. I know how important all of this is to the NASCAR family, to the media, our fans. And so I thought I might share a little bit. I might be able to help on some of the questions and everything that were asked about Carl. So let me start, first of all, with that. This was such a surprise. I was all set for the holidays to have a little hang around the house and everything. And I was in a meeting, and they said, hey, Carl, stop by. And I figured it was going to be me, you know, have a great Christmas and everything. And when he sat down in front of me and shared what he was thinking, I was totally surprised. And the first thing I did, I said, look, it's a huge decision here. I said, let's spend some time thinking about this. And so it took 4 days, but Carl really go back, spend time with the family. And then we got hooked up again on the phone, and I could tell that he was really committed, okay, to stepping away from racing. So I just wanted to say to everybody here, I was totally surprised. There was nothing about contract, future talks. I just want to say to everybody here, it was totally a surprise. I think something that Carl felt like was very important for him, and he had chosen this time to step away. So that, it was a total surprise. And so then we obviously start down that path. And for our whole team here, I just want everybody to know the most important thing about us, this team, is our employees here. We're one big team for JD, Coy, and the Gibbs family. We feel like that we got one of the neatest things going. And so we started, all of us together, our management team, started working on this. And I was on airplanes pretty much nonstop. And obviously the first thing was who could drive the car. Daniel was the obvious choice. As everybody knows here, had an unbelievable year in Xfinity. We've been around Daniel now for 2.5 years. And I can honestly say this. He is, his background and the people that work with him, you know, you got Gustavo, Jimmy's here. Jimmy's a big part of, obviously, Daniel's life. But his family, what you can tell about Daniel, is Daniel, he's all over it. I'll give you an example. We have a lot of things where we have sponsors come in here and do different 2- and 3-day events. And we'd be down at the bowling alley with a sponsor that had nothing to do with Daniel. And I'd turn around, and there he is. He's bowling. Or he's at the, you know, the pit and driving the go-karts and stuff like that. So in the time we had, 2.5 years, we became convinced that he's going to, as everybody here in NASCAR is watching talent-wise, you know, we felt like that obviously that was a great choice for us, and I think he's had the right background. Now, the other good thing about this for us, that 19 team, with Dave Rogers leading it, Daniel will be put with a team that has one of the best pit crews in the sport. Obviously, a veteran crew chief that we have extreme confidence in. And so he'll be surrounded. We just met this morning with the 19 group. He'll be surrounded with that group. So great thing we got going for ourselves is I think we're going to be putting him in the right place. So for Carl's statement announcement, the one thing I want to say about Carl, we consider Carl now part of our family. He and I have talked numerous times over the last couple of weeks, and I think he's still kind of questioning what all he's going to be doing. But what we have discussed with him is continuing to work with us and work with inside of NASCAR, and we got some new things coming up. We're hoping Daniel's going to be in his first test, the 30th, and we're hoping that with Carl's schedule, he can make that. He's going to help Daniel and our support group, but then there's going to be other things that we'll be
we've kind of been thinking about with Carl. So hopefully that's what we'll see in the future going forward. To Jimmy, Gustavo, Carlos, everybody in the background there, great job. Thank you. Thank goodness Daniel was there for us to step in for us. To Toyota, huge part of everything we do. This is a big shock for Toyota, and we do everything together here. It's honestly, we probably have, I don't know how many phone calls here in the week, talking about different things with everybody in the Toyota family, from Bob Carter, Ed, on down, David. We're constantly discussing things. We go through things. It's more than us just working together. It's a true partnership. We've been through tough times at different times, adversity, and certainly this one threw us a curveball. I think we'll all say that. And but, you know, I think that's part of life. With racing and big-time sports, it can certainly happen, and that's what did happen this time. So thanks to everybody there at Toyota. I want to say this. Everybody knows how important when you have sponsors in this sport, it's different than any other sport. In other sports, the sponsor's not on the car, in the game, and a part of it. And as everybody knows here, you can play football, basketball, and baseball without a sponsor. You're not racing. You can imagine people sitting in a company and me showing up on the doorstep in a holiday saying, hey, something had happened here. And so I went through on airplane, and we started with Aris, which is a huge partner for us. We're thrilled to have them on board, and I know that everybody in NASCAR is. So I go down for a meeting there and talked over a plan with them, and we were able to work through all of this. And Ron will kind of add some things there about going forward. So Aris was the first stop, and really when we embarked on this, we didn't know if we're going to be able to get everything put together here. And we might not have had that option. So Aris, then I went to visit Jim LaRie and Stanley Black & Decker, just awesome company, huge, their own cars, the DeWalt package on the 20, and an unbelievable meeting. Sat there with five people with Jim LaRie running the whole company, and when he got through, he said to his team, let's go around the table here and tell me what you think. Yeah, every single one of them on that team said, you know, we understand what's happening. We're excited about Daniel. And so that was a great and awesome meeting. I had a phone conversation with Subway. I got a meeting coming up later in the month here with them. Just great. Signed off. Great conversation with them. And then Interstate. And our boy Norm, I just wanted to say everybody here, huge surgery 5 days ago. Norm had his second open heart deal, and I went down to see him before the surgery. It was typical Norm. He's rolling around in the room in a wheelchair and talking about the nurses, and he goes, hey, I got this covered, whichever way it goes. So typical Norm. But Norm signed off that we're on board. So I just want to say a big thanks to our all of our partners there and our sponsors. So I want to say a big thanks to them. To the NASCAR team, everybody there from Brian on down and everybody at NASCAR, when we had a chance to share this with them, it was the same thing. Nobody there had any idea. Everybody was totally taken back. But we sat and had a conversation at Detroit at the Big Auto Show, and everything there. Their concern, the first thing they said to me, we hope that Carl can stay involved and with our sport. And so we're going to do that. And thanks to NASCAR and all your support and everything that you guys do for our sport and the fact that we're in this and the leadership that you give. It's just, it makes us, we feel so comfortable with that. So thanks to everybody at NASCAR. Mike, Brian, Lisa. Our people here at JGR, I mentioned the people when we first started, hugely important for us. They're already rallying. They are after it already, making preparations and everything for our first test coming up at the end of the month, to surrounding Daniel with everything that we have here and every resource. So ever since we got together with Daniel, our goal was to, every time he hit the racetrack, was to have him in a car and with a team that he could have a chance to win a race every single time. And he's obviously done an unbelievable job for us, and we really appreciate that. Winning the championship this year was a huge deal for us. Denny, Kyle, and Matt, we had a chance to talk to them. Other Cup guys, they're going to miss Carl because in our technical room right here, we have our meetings at 30 on Tuesdays. And honestly, I can you would think you got, you know, Martin, Matt, Denny, Kyle, and Carl together, that there would be some spark. Those guys, and I think Carl said it here, it's true. They share with each other. They try and help each other. And in any case, I think the drivers, their concern, obviously, was like a lot of the questions that all of you had. But I think they've had a chance to talk to Carl, and they understand. So in any case, we're going to move forward here. I've spent enough time. I'm getting the boys giving me. Normally his mother does that. go ahead.
All right, yeah, Daniel. You know, very exciting news for you, obviously, today. Share your thoughts on being named to take over the number 19.
This is amazing. I wasn't expecting to be in this position right now. It's been an amazing time. It's hard to believe that I'm in this position. We start all these dreams 10 years ago about NASCAR, and right now to be in this position, to be on this opportunity, is just something amazing for me and for everyone that has been helping me. Of course, I know that won't be easy. We have a lot to work. I have a lot to learn, but I'm sure that couldn't happen in a better situation with Dave Rogers and the entire 19 group. It's just an amazing team. I feel like it's just a perfect place to be for a rookie like me. That is so really hungry to learn and to go out there to perform well. Obviously, as well, I want to thank a lot of people that helped me to get to this point. My family, of course, Coach Gibbs, and the entire Andretti Racing family for trusting me 2 years and a half ago of a kid from Mexico that barely was speaking English. Obviously, my sponsors, Aris, Esther Battery, Coca-Cola, and of course, Fedora. I can't wait to drive that car, and that's sharp. It's just unbelievable. I wish I could take it to the street right now. Yeah, let's do that. And as well, everyone in Mexico that they've been supporting me, not just right now, but when we start all this journey more than 10 years ago, it's been amazing. Jim Morales, Carlos Slim, Gustavo Arenas, the entire Tavares family, NASCA for the amazing support through the Drive for Diversity program, and of course, Telmes and Telcel. It's been an amazing journey, and I can't wait for the future. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you, Daniel. Ron, big changes to the Aris Racing program.
There you have it, Joe Gibbs and Daniel Suarez. Also, this past holiday area season, the NASCAR had their Hall of Fame class of 2017 inductees step up for a press conference, and that included Rick Hendrick, Richard Childress, and Mark Martin, the only driver of the crew, and had two owners. So, anyway, we can get a little bit of Mark Martin. Haven't heard from him in a while. See Hendrick and Childress every week, but a little bit of Mark
Martin. Okay, we've now been joined by Mark Martin. legendary driver in the 2017 NASCAR Hall of Fame inductee. Mark has won 40 Premier Series races and totaled 96 National Series victory throughout his history-making career. Mark, thanks for joining us today. What are the emotions like now that the ceremony is just a week away?
Well, I'm really, really excited about the ceremony. You know, it's going to be, the biggest family reunion I think we've had in my memory. Have a lot of people coming in for it that are family members that we don't get to see all the time, and it's just, you know, it's just really a major special event for me and my family.
Thank you. We'll now go to the media for questions.
And Richard Childress, it's a little bit from him.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's NASCAR teleconference. We'll be joined by three inductees of the NASCAR Hall of Fame class of 2017, Richard Childress, Rick Hendrick, and Mark Martin. All three, along with Raymond Parks and Benny Parsons, will be inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame next Friday, January the 20th, at 8 p.m. Eastern, live on NBCSN, MRN, and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. For tickets, please visit NASCARHall.com. Though I know we're all very excited for the 2017 season, we do ask that you please keep your questions related to our guest induction into the NASCAR Hall of Fame and their legendary careers. First, we will be joined by Richard Childress, owner of Richard Childress Racing and 2017 NASCAR Hall of Fame inductee. Richard's career includes more than 100 Premier Series race wins and the second highest total of NASCAR National Series owner championships in history. Richard, it has been a few months since you were voted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame. How are you feeling with the induction ceremony now a week away?
You know, I feel great. It's going to be an exciting time. I've got a lot of friends coming from all over the country that are coming out, and family will be here, and a lot of the guys that worked for me way, way back when it wasn't the three or four of us, I'm bringing those guys in, and it's just a special time for everybody that played a role in me getting in here. I didn't do it by myself, for sure.
Thank you. And we'll now go to our media.
And a couple words from Rick Hendrick, of course, the second all-time championship-winning owner. Here's the first, Rick Hendrick, because Richard Childress did it all with Dale Earnhardt, and Rick Hendrick did it with Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon, Terry Labonte.
We have now been joined by Rick Hendrick, owner of Hendrick Motorsports and 2017 NASCAR Hall of Fame inductee. Rick has sold more than 200 owner wins and 15 owner championships during his legendary career. And as a friendly reminder, we do ask that you please keep your questions related to our guest's induction into the NASCAR Hall of Fame and their legendary careers as much as possible. Mr. H, we asked this to Richard Childress earlier, but what are your emotions like with the ceremony now just a week away?
You know, it's really hard to believe that I'm actually going in the Hall of Fame. I think it feels a lot like the first time I went to New York after I won a championship, the first championship. You feel such it's an unbelievable accomplishment when you dreamed about being involved in a sport or just watching a sport, and to think that now you're being recognized in the Hall of Fame. It's a really emotional and a very special feeling.
Thank you. And we'll now go.
And there you have your big three. Of course, the other two inductees, Benny Parsons and Raymond Parks, are no longer with us, so they would have family members in attendance, I guess, to accept the old, I'm sure they give you a plaque. So go down to Charlotte and get in to see the NASCAR Hall of Fame and a lot of NASCAR history there, especially in the Cup Series. But anyway, look at the upcoming racing season schedule. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series kicks off its season with the Clash at Daytona on February the 18th. At Fox Sports 1, the race starts at 8 o'clock, and of course, that's your TV network, your radio, MRN, Sirius XM. And then qualifying for the Daytona 500 for the front row will be the day after Sunday the 19th at 3 on regular Fox. And then the K&M duels, used to be the Gatorade duels, but K&M now, that'll be on the 23rd of February. And then the first race of the year kicks off the 26th, 2 p.m. Fox, not a cable channel, the regular one. Matter of fact, most of the races this season for Fox will be on the regular network channel. Fox Sports 1 does have a few points races. That would be Martinsville, Kansas, the All-Star race at Charlotte, and then Dover, Pocono, wrapping up their season with Sonoma on the 18th, on the 25th of June. Then the Coke Zero 400 kicks off on July the 1st, because the 4th is a Tuesday, so they're going to run that Saturday night under the lights on NBC, and then over to NBC Sportsnet for pretty much the remainder of their coverage, except for Indianapolis on the 23rd of July, Bristol, 19th of August, Talladega, the 15th of October, and then the last three of the season in November, which would be the November 5th at Texas, November 12th at Phoenix, and wrapping up for the crown on November the 19th at Homestead, Miami. Well, everything coming up. We'll have more next week. I'll try to line up a couple guests. If not, I'll pull some interviews out of the archives and run them. But anyway, that's our show for today. It's great to be back. Hope you'll all tune in next week. And we'll see you all. Racing season begins. Don't forget, check out Motorsports 2017 at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oak, Pennsylvania, if you're up in that way, or feel like getting away from getting out of the house. I can't promise you on the weather up there, or for that matter, but usually it's been pretty good, being it's in January. If it was in February, I'd worry about it more, but judging by the forecast from what I've seen, they should have at least no snow. I'll leave it at that. Check your local forecast for the weather, or just go to 6abc.com. I'll give you the most accurate weather that I used to watch on there. Either in the local area when I lived up there, so they were the best. Now, here I would tell you to go to WSLS Storm Team 10 out of Roanoke. They're my go-to for the weather. They're even better than the ones I watched in Philly. So, anyway, thanks again for joining me. Hope to have another interesting season. We'll see you all next week. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Good day and good racing to come. Bye now.